This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you a brand new company that my team discovered 2 or 3 months ago, and we're super excited to have them on the show. We are talking about General Cannabis Corp. You can find them on the OTCQX, ticker symbol CANN. Let me give you a couple of metrics about this company, why I think they're headed in the right direction. The revenues in 2017 was around $3.5 million. 2018, they did about $4.6 million. And 2020, we'll talk about it earlier or later, if you will, with the CEO. The run rate will probably be around $20 million in 2020. With us today is the CEO of the company, Steve Gutterman. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, those are some impressive numbers that you guys are putting up. Before I get into the Q&A, can you give me an update on the press release you put out on January the 27th? Where are we at on the acquirement of the 7-5 Farms and the 17,000 square foot greenhouse in Colorado?
Yeah. We're really excited about 7-5 Farms. And it fits really well into our model and what we're trying to do. 7-5 Farms is a 17,000 square foot light depth greenhouse, which means that it's an indoor facility that uses a combination of lights and natural light to grow plants. It's situated a little bit outside of Boulder, Colorado. 7-5 Farms was founded and has been operated by a great team. And having said that, we are going to be able to improve production and yield in that facility dramatically, really to the order we should probably triple production. And so it is a great example of what we can do when we take undervalued and or underperforming assets, acquire them for good value, improve performance, and then operate. So the specific answer to your question is we signed a purchase agreement. We submitted that to the Colorado Marijuana Enforcement Division, or MED, and the MED is in the process of approving the transaction. We don't actually know how long it's going to take for the MED to give its approval, because this is a relatively new thing for the MED, approving transactions where public companies are acquiring private entities. As a matter of fact, the law only changed last November to allow that. We'll see. So far, we've been working quite well with them. They've been great. We're hopeful that the approval process will happen quickly, and I guess we'll see.
You know, speaking of your industry, it's been decimated here over the last six months, and I've had hundreds of CEOs in your space. Bring us up to speed. What do you think is happening? What's going on right now?
That is a great question, and if you indulge me, let me just take you back a little, because
please do.
Great. I mean, I think we would both agree that there are very few industries, maybe in the history of industries, that are as exciting and have as compelling a growth story as cannabis. Right? I mean, this is an industry.
I concur.
Right. I mean, this is an industry that's going to go from zero to $75 billion in legalized revenue in a handful of years. That's incredible. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. It's not going to all be in one tidy linear progression, right? It's fitful. There's going to be ups and downs, and we've seen that. So in 2015, and we call this Cannabis 1.0, in 2015, you had all of these Canadian companies go public on the investment thesis that, number one, these companies would eventually move south. And number two, Canada would be a distribution center for the rest of the world. And finally, number three, that Canada would be an interesting market in which to sell cannabis. Well, as it turns out, there have been issues with all three of those parts of the investment thesis. That didn't turn out quite the way people thought. Then Cannabis 2.0 was companies like MedMen and Cura and Harvest and GTI, and I was at Harvest at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We all went public, mostly on the Canadian Stock Exchange, and everybody had really rather similar strategies.
Right.
The strategy was, one, aggregate a lot of capital. And so at Harvest, we raised $400 million, and there were similar amounts raised in other companies, and focus on limited licensure states, then try to create monopolies in those states and then deploy capital aggressively to pursue that strategy.
Right.
The problem, and this goes to your question of kind of what's happened. The problem with that strategy, even though it kind of sounds good on paper, is that there's a lot of betting on the come, right? And so what that means is that there's so much uncertainty, right? Whether it's the regulators in Pennsylvania or the market slowly developing in Ohio or slowly developing in Florida, there's a lot of uncertainty. And so you have companies that are pursuing monopolies in states that may or may not be developing the way that we had originally hoped and thought. So now let's kind of talk about where we are today, February 12th, 2020. We still know that the market's going to $75 billion. We also know that there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty, and that has hurt companies. So companies that will succeed now are ones like ours, where we are small, nimble, very reasonably valued, we believe, and have the ability to kind of look at the whole market and move opportunistically. We are very focused, and this is a little contrarian compared to where all of the MSOs, the large MSOs and the Canadian companies think. We're very focused on mature markets, specifically Colorado, California, Oregon. And we like those mature markets because there is less uncertainty. There's less betting on the come, right? So we can look at the market and we can look at Colorado, for example, and we can say that there's 518 dispensaries, $1.6 billion of sales. Those numbers probably aren't going to change very much, right? It's unlikely, unlike in Florida, where the legislature might issue 1,000 more dispensary licenses, it's unlikely in Colorado that there will be more dispensaries next year, which means as we look at the market, we have much more certainty in underwriting and acquiring assets that we think we can fit into our portfolio, operate well, and then, you know, kind of we're on our merry way. And so now when we go back and you ask me about 75 Farms, 75 Farms is a great example of that. Really good business and one that we think that we can make even better. And so those are the kinds of acquisitions that we will be making in Colorado, California, and Oregon.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I went over some numbers and some metrics. I left off 2019. You're going to release your fourth quarter, I assume, pretty soon. Mm-hmm. That will probably do 5 million. How do we go from 5 million plus in 2019 to a possible run rate of 20 million in 2020? What is General Cannabis position to take that success to that level?
Well, you know, we haven't issued guidance yet. And so, I think that we're still putting together what our numbers will be, but our revenue and earnings grow pretty substantially as we add assets, right? As we add, first of all, we have a cultivation consulting business called Next Big Crop, and they are doing great. And every quarter is better than the last. And so that's exciting. In addition, 75 Farms is going to add revenue and contribution. And every time we add an asset, you're going to see that happen. And so what we will continue to do is provide the market updates when we sign LOIs, when we sign purchase agreements, and obviously when we get final approval to close on these assets. And so we previously announced, for example, the acquisition of Hulsa. And Hulsa, it's run by a guy I met about a year ago named Chris Cologne. For my money, one of the best retailers in cannabis, previously the president of Nectar, a 17-store chain in Oregon. Before that, Native Roots. Before that, Smashburger. Chris had been working on acquiring three really extraordinary assets in California, and we're working to close that transaction. So same thing. As we add those assets into our portfolio, you'll see large revenue and contribution jumps.
Before I let you go today, people that are going to be listening to this interview, one, what do you want them to take away from it? And two, why should they go out and buy your stock?
Well, I think that, like I was talking about before, cannabis is a tricky market in which to invest. You got to understand where the market is and where it's going. And if you kind of think about that and you think about that there's some places where there's massive uncertainty and other places where there's more clarity. General Cannabis, by the way, ticker symbol CANN on the OTC, General Cannabis is perfectly positioned to take advantage of where the market is today.
If you want to learn more about General Cannabis Corp, you can go to their website. It's www.generalcann, that's GENERALCANN.com. You can find them on the OTCQX, ticker symbol CANN. You've been listening to my guest, Mr. Steve Gutterman. Steve, I want to thank you for stopping by and coming on the show. It was a privilege to have you on the show. Hopefully you become a regular. Come back on the show, please, in 40 or 50 days and give myself and the listeners an update.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.